Thanks, John and Rachel, and thanks everyone for being here today. It means a lot that you've come here. It's a pretty emotional day for us to be saying goodbye, but we're excited about the new ministry that we're going to, and we're also glad and thankful to God that we can look at His Word together. He's the source of our comfort. He's the one we live for and make all our decisions for, so I'm really glad we can go through this psalm together. You'll find what we're looking at on the inside of the handout if you haven't already got that out, and there's an outline there. Well, let's pray for God to help us turn our minds to Him. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you that we can gather here in comfort and air conditioning, so that we can not be distracted as we focus on your word. And we pray this, that you would clear our minds and our hearts to receive your word. Please be at work in us by the power of your Holy Spirit and in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Well, there's an old saying that there are no atheists in foxholes, meaning that when people are in great danger or peril, they believe that they need God. Now, this saying might be true generally, but it's not always true. In fact, there's an organization called Atheists in Foxholes, just to prove that there are sometimes atheists in foxholes. But you see a similar thing with prayer. Even people who rarely pray will pray at a time of great distress. But not everyone. Now, there are some who never turn to God in prayer, even in times of great distress. Well, when it comes to King David, he was someone who prayed in times of great distress. As we know, he prayed all the time. But this Psalm 4, which he probably wrote, is about a particular time of distress. It's a time where he's really feeling the attacks of malicious enemies. Now, it doesn't say exactly when in David's life this happened. There were many times in David's life where he was opposed by enemies and was unfairly attacked. So we can't really be too specific about the details. But what we can say is that David was being attacked unfairly. He was being slandered. People were saying false things and making negative judgments about him. And other people were joining in. You remember, gossip is a sin which takes two people. It takes the person who's speaking the gossip, and it also takes the person who's listening to it. Let's see how it plays out in this psalm. Have a look with me at verse 1. It starts off with David saying, "Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness." David himself here knows that he has done nothing wrong, that he's righteous, he's in the right. He should be honored for what he's done. Have a look at verse 2. In the second half of verse 2. Oh, sorry, the first half. "O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame?" See, David has done what is honorable. And yet people are talking about it like he's done something shameful. In the second half of verse 2, "How long will you love vain words and seek after lies?" There are people who are saying that what David has done, even though it's actually honorable, is a big shame. And there are people who are loving to hear it. They love to hear David being slandered. They seek after lies. They love vain words. There's the gossip and the people who listen to the gossip. Now, the Psalms of David, they're not just different episodes of David's life that we've got to try and draw a moral to the story from. The Psalms are actually given to us for us to say ourselves. And what happens is that David's actions in this psalm become the perfect example of how we should respond to malicious enemies. Well, I think there's three common responses to a malicious enemy. And they are seeking revenge, or despairing, or praying. And this psalm actually addresses each of those three common responses. Let's have a think about the first response, getting revenge. And we all from time to time feel like we want revenge. Someone's hurt you, someone's opposed you, someone's made your life a misery. You want payback. You want them to regret how they have made you feel. You want them to regret that they've treated you badly or not showed you more respect. Well, to want justice is not necessarily wrong. Now, David wants it in verse 1. Have a look. He says, "Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness." God is the one who will vindicate David. Another way of saying God of my righteousness is saying, O God who vindicates me. When it all comes out in the wash, David's enemies will see what a big mistake they have made. God will vindicate David. He has been upright through all of this. If you've been treated unfairly, it's okay to want justice. But the difference between justice and revenge is that justice is something that God brings about, whereas revenge is when we take matters into our own hands. See, in this psalm, David is calling on God to act. He's not taking matters into his own hands. He's so sure of the fact that God will act that he states it in the past tense in verse 1. He says, "You have given me relief when I was in distress." Now, speaking about it as if it's already happened. At the end of verse 3, David says confidently, "The Lord hears when I call to him." David's not taking things into his own hands. He's not seeking revenge. He's entrusting himself to God and to his justice. Now, this justice may happen when Jesus returns, when justice reigns, when everything is put right. But even before that, we can get some justice in this life. If we're wronged, then going to the police or going to the authorities is not wrongfully seeking revenge. In fact, doing that is seeking God's justice because God is the one who has set up these authorities. It's what we read in Romans 13. It says, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. They are God's servants, agents of wrath, to bring punishment on the wrongdoer." We should thank God for our police and our courts and the authorities because they do bring some justice into the world. They're not God, and they consist of sinful people, so they don't always get it right, but it's better to have some authority than to have anarchy. Imagine a world where there was no one to appeal to for justice. But if we seek revenge, we're making a huge mistake because vengeance belongs to God and not to us. Also, we read in Romans, "Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge. I will repay,' says the Lord." I've been watching this show about drug trafficking, and there was very little justice in it because the drug traffickers bribed the authorities. So whenever someone wronged someone else, the authorities would just turn a blind eye to it. So the only way for anyone to do anything about it would be to take matters into their own hands, to seek revenge. And what would happen is things would inevitably escalate. So an insult would be escalated to deadly force. A murder would be escalated to a massacre when the other side took revenge. Well, what does David say our attitude should be when we suffer injustice? And what does he say about taking revenge? Now look at verse 4. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. It's not wrong to be angry at injustice. The psalm says, be angry. God is angry at injustice. But our anger is often dangerous and uncontrollable. That's why revenge all too often escalates things and just makes them worse. Because revenge is giving in to our anger. David says, be angry, but do not sin. When the Apostle Paul talks about this, he quotes this verse. He says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Don't hold on to your anger, or it will hold on to you. And James says, know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. If someone doesn't control their anger, it will control them. And notice that James knows the danger of words spoken in anger. Being slow to anger is right there in parallel with being slow to speak. Here's a good bit of advice for us all, a bit of ancient advice from Proverbs. It says, fools show their annoyance at once, but the prudent overlook an insult. I'm sure we can all think of someone who kicked up a stink over a relatively minor injustice and how much they looked like a fool when they did that. But God doesn't give us this so that we can feel smug about ourselves. He gives us this so that we can examine ourselves and not be fools ourselves, so that we can learn ourselves to be prudent and to overlook minor injustices. Well, the second response that we can have when we suffer injustice is to despair. And in David's time, during this episode in his life, there were lots of people around him despairing. Have a look at verse 6. There are many who say, who will show us some good? Someone says to us, it'll be okay. How will it be okay? How on earth will this situation be okay? Who can make this situation okay? It's the expression of despair. But David's response at the end of verse 6 is to pray. To despair is to completely give up, to consider the situation utterly hopeless. Now, saying that we shouldn't despair doesn't mean that we should always be happy. To think that Christians always need to be happy is a great modern heresy. We've already seen that it's appropriate to be angry at times, to be angry at injustice, as long as we're in control of our anger and we don't let it take control of us. It's also right for us to have another emotion, which we don't often talk about, even though it's very biblical, and that's expressing lament. Now, David's doing it in verse 2 when he cries out, how long? How long shall my honour be turned into shame? And to cry out with frustration and tears, how long is this going to go on for? How many times is this going to happen? Now, David is addressing his enemies here, but it may be that they never even read this psalm. That might be quite likely, actually. But God is the one who hears David's prayer, and God is the one who is listening to David speak when he writes this psalm. The difference between despair and lament is that despair forgets God, whereas lament cries out to God. Despair forgets God, lament cries out to God. Life is not buttercups and sugar plums. Life is thorns and troubles and enemies and tears. If you think that you need to be happy all the time, you're going to be one sick puppy. But what we should do when we feel devastated is not despair, but lament. Cry out to God. We need to take this in when we're in the good times, because when you face the bad times, it's very hard to take things in. So make sure you pack this away for later. The way you face difficulties in life is not to pretend it's all okay, but with tears and agony, cry out to God. Lament. Sometimes we feel so bad that we just cannot put into words what we're feeling. But many of the Psalms, like this one, are Psalms of lament. They're Psalms that tell God about our suffering. They tell God about the oppression that we're going through. There's actually a whole book of the Bible called Lamentations, because it's all lamenting. Even when we can't express with our own words how we feel, God graciously gives us the words of Scripture to be able to express these to Him. We might not be able to put into words what we're feeling, but we can read Psalm 4 as our own words. They're the words that God has given us to lament. It's one of the reasons why reading the Bible every day is such an excellent habit to get into. If you don't know where to start, I would recommend starting with one of the Gospels, the Gospel of Mark. It's a great place to start if you're new to reading the Bible. But if you've read the New Testament, a really great thing to do is to read a psalm every day. This psalm is 8 verses. So it'll take you less than 2 minutes to read. So getting into the habit of reading a psalm every day is a great thing to do. I said that despair forgets God, but lament cries out to God. And this is the proper response to a malicious enemy. And the proper response is prayer. It's what David starts this psalm with. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. To his own men who are angry at the injustice he's facing, he says in verse 5, offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. And prayer is trust expressed in words. He turns again to prayer at the end of verse 6. Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. Which is basically saying, show your favor to us, show your kindness to us. And what happens when David prays? Well, he's filled with joy and peace. He's got more joy than any material blessing could ever give. In verse 7, he says, you have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. And he has peace. In peace, I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. It's like what we read in the book of Philippians in the New Testament. Paul writes, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, it'd be a mistake to think that just because we've said a prayer that we'll automatically feel at peace and get a good night's sleep that night. Paul doesn't say that, and it's not what David says in this psalm. When David talks about lying down in peace, he talks about it in the future. And as Christians, we know even more than David about the peace that we will have in the future. And that's the thing that guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I said before that prayer is trust expressed in words. When we commit ourselves and our worries to God in prayer, we're trusting Him, and we're trusting Him to deliver us from them. We're trusting His promises that He will deliver us from them, that we will have peace one day. And that's what guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And prayer is also what enables us to forget about seeking revenge. Because when we pray for justice, we're committing the situation to God rather than taking matters into our own hands. And we can be confident that God will one day deliver. God will bring that justice. He may do it in this life through the authorities, but He will do it when Jesus returns. Have a listen to how Jesus talks about this when He tells us this story from Luke 18. I'll read it out to you. And He told them a parable to the effect that they ought to always pray and not to lose heart. Jesus said, "In a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected people. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.' For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect people, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming.' And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And how much more will God give justice to His elect who cry to Him day and night? Will He delay long over them? I tell you, He will give them justice speedily.'" Jesus told us this parable to teach us that we should always pray and not lose heart. Well, I said before that God gives us the Psalms for us to say for ourselves. So why don't we do that now? Why don't we say this Psalm of Lament together with the words that are printed inside the outline as we finish? To the choir master with stringed instruments, a psalm of David. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O men, how long shall my honour be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for Himself. The Lord hears when I call to Him. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts, on your beds, and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, "Who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." Amen.